Today's message is dedicated to people who find themselves in a season of rejection. Rejection. You've been rejected by family. You've been rejected by friends. You may have even been rejected by systems or employers. Whatever the case may be, I pray that you will hear a message today that I wish I heard when I found myself in a season of rejection. I pray that together we will all get better. And if you're not in a season of rejection, hold on, because one might be coming. But also, I want you to listen so that you can minister well to someone that you know is in one of these kinds of seasons. So let's pray. Oh God, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for Jason reminding us just how big you are. And although you do sit high, you look low. As big as the moon is, the sun is, the earth is, you still know every grasshopper. You still know every leaf that falls from a tree, every bird, every sparrow in the sky. You still know every hair that is on our head. Is anything too hard for our God? Father, I want to thank you that you didn't leave us in our sin. I thank you that you came to us through your son Jesus to save us, not only from the penalty of sin, as Elder Sherman said at the men's fire pit, declaring us righteous in the courts of heaven as we receive Jesus by faith, never to be guilty or condemned again, but you are also a life changer. Because if any person is in Jesus, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, everything is becoming new. We thank you that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We thank you that we're one day closer to being with you. But until that time, until that day, help us, Lord God, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, knowing that all these other things that we need will be added unto us. And Lord, you've also blessed us to be a blessing. You want us to enjoy what you have given to us and not always look over our shoulder to see what the devil may or may not do. Oh God, I thank you that you're in it with us. And for our brothers and sisters today, Lord, who may find themselves struggling because they've been rejected by people that they've only tried to love, speak to their heart today. Thank you that you have already bound the enemy and that any lie he throws will not work against the truth of the word of God. Have your way. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask it. Amen. He plays so lovely, don't you agree? That's my man. Rejecting rejection. That's what we're talking about today. Rejecting rejection. Rejection, unfortunately, is a part of life. Rejection comes in many forms. You can be rejected by a mother. Somebody has that testimony. You can be rejected by a father, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife. For some of you, you are still living in that situation with these people, and you're experiencing rejection on a daily. You're experiencing rejection from a son who is estranged. a daughter who is estranged, even grandchildren or grandparents. Rejection is no distinction of person. It hits us all. You can be rejected by a close friend. You can be rejected by a teacher who told you that you'll never make it. You could be rejected by a pastor who didn't speak love and words to build you up, but spoke down to you. You can be rejected by an employer, a boss. You can be rejected by a potential employer. You can be rejected by a coworker or a passerby on the street, and their look tells you that they do not like you. You can be rejected because of your skin color in 2026. You can be rejected because of your ethnicity or your nationality. You can be rejected because of your accent. And when people talk, they begin to already make judgments about you. You can be rejected because of your place of birth. Not just if you came from somewhere outside of the United States, whereby you may be a Palestinian or a Mexican or whatever the case may be. You can be rejected because you don't come from the South, or you can be rejected because you come from the North. You can be rejected for anything from people. You can be rejected because of your gender. And our sisters know about that all too well, unfortunately. You can be rejected because of your religion. You can be rejected because of your denomination if you are a part of Christianity. And when people find out you're from that denomination or from that church or that persuasion, you can be rejected. You can be rejected because of your economic status or lack thereof. You can be rejected because of your education or lack thereof. You can be rejected because of your appearance, your disabilities, your marital status. You're not married. You're divorced. What's wrong? You get rejected. You can be rejected because of your politics. You can be rejected because of your past. When people find out what you did, they can reject you, hold you at arm's length, and condemn you and put you down. And if you've ever been to jail or to prison and you have to fill out an application, you're tempted to lie, but you're growing as a believer and you're like, I'm going to tell the truth. Yes, I am a convicted felon. And we know that you can be rejected because of your past, because you have a felony on your record. But you can also say, wait a minute, now there seems to be a double standard in this country because somebody on Pennsylvania Avenue got 34 of them bad boys. Y'all took my right to vote away. Maybe on the 4th of July weekend, we're going to talk about some of this kind of stuff. I think I'm going to preach about the brother who helped lead that excursion to the moon. We're going to talk about some stuff on 4th of July. I'm already in July. Let me back it up. Let me. Excuse me, y'all. And so rejection comes at us in so many different ways. Rejection cuts deep. And it can have a negative impact on your mental health. Stay with me, Strong Tower. It can cause you to question yourself. Rejection can do that. Rejection can have you talking to yourself. What's wrong with me? What did I do? What did I not do? What did I say wrong? What's wrong with me? It can have you turning inward. It can have you doubting yourself, even disliking yourself. Rejection can have you giving up on yourself. It can have you hating yourself. Or even, God forbid, harming yourself. Because you were rejected by the people who hit the right button and it sent you into a downward, abysmal spiral. But here's something I want you to think about today. Rejection can leave us feeling like rejects, but this is where we must reject rejection. Yes, it's real. It happens to all of us, and it can make us feel like we're rejects. But this is where we have to take some authority. This is where we have to recognize our identity in Christ and reject rejection. You see, rejection is not fun, but it is fundamental to our development as followers of Jesus. I'm about to give you some perspective change here. It's not fun, doesn't feel good, but it is fundamental to our development as followers of Jesus. In fact, being a follower of Jesus helps us to put rejection into its proper context so that you just don't navel gaze and moan and groan and have your head down. Let's get the right perspective here, because if our steps are ordered by the Lord, and the Bible says they are, that means that God has on our menu rejection. I went too fast. I'm gonna say it again. If our steps are ordered, that means sometimes God will order up rejection. God will allow pain. He will use pain. He will use rejection. It will be on the menu for us. And you say, wait a minute now, I didn't order that. I've told God that I didn't order this. It must be somebody else's plate. Why are you dropping it off at my table? No. It's on the menu, because rejection was on the menu for Jesus. Rejection was on the menu for the Son of the Living God, who never did anything wrong, who only loved everybody and tried to help everybody. But he had rejection on the menu. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." That's what the Bible says about Jesus. It spoke prophetically about him. That when he comes, and even in the passage in Isaiah, it says, there's nothing about him in his appearance that would make us want him. He was just ordinary and regular, but he's going to be rejected. And here's the thing about rejection. Rejection will lead you into sorrow. You see, we have a Savior who is not only the Son of God, but he is also the Son of man, and he is human. And because he's human, he goes through the range of emotions that we go through. At least he went through those when he walked the earth, yet without sin, perfect in every way. And so he wasn't walking around like a superhero or an android, devoid of feelings. He was human, and rejection hurt Jesus. Just like rejection hurts you. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. A man of sorrows. What comes out of rejection many times? Sorrow. And that's why we go to the Lord in prayer, because he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So when we tell him about the rejection we're going through, he can say in the spirit back to you, I know how you feel. But as we're going to see today, feelings are real, but they should not rule. Because if we're not careful, rejection will take us down. You see, rejection's on the menu for Jesus, it's on the menu for us. But here's the beautiful thing. Romans 8:29 says, God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. So God has rejection on the menu for us because he had it on the menu for Jesus. And God is going to use rejection to conform us to the image of Jesus so that we can handle rejection the way that Jesus handled rejection. You're not going through it alone, or you're not going through it without having someone in front of you showing you how to bear through the rejection. You look to him. He felt it, but did he quit? No. So as you're tempted to quit and give up because you've been rejected by people who you thought loved you, you got to press on and you've got to press through. We don't grow into Christ's likeness by only hearing, Hosanna! You know, praise the Lord. The Lord saved, the good stuff. But we grow into Christ's likeness when we also hear, crucify him. Crucify her. That's when growth really starts happening. We love the open door. Revelation talks about God will open up doors that no man can shut. Oh, we love open doors. Thank you, God. Thank you for this open door. But there's another part we leave out. But he'll also close doors that no man can open. Can I trust him and love him and worship him when the door is closed? When I've been rejected by people who used to have an open door for me? Did Jesus go through this? Yes, he did. So Lord, help us. Here's the main point today. To reject rejection is to not take it personal. I know again, it produces sorrow, but let us not live in sorrow. To reject rejection is to not take it personal. Do your best to see it as purposeful. If my steps are ordered, there's a purpose for this moment, this season of rejection. If my steps are ordered, there's something God wants to use to bring me closer to Jesus. Because ain't nothing like rejection that caused you to run to the one who accepts you unconditionally. At least you better run to him. There's nothing like rejection, again, to draw you to God and make you look like God. Because if we take rejection personal, it can turn into depression. Or it can turn into bitterness. Or it can turn into both. The Holy Spirit is knocking on somebody's heart today. Because you've been rejected and you feel justified being angry at the people who rejected you. The Holy Spirit is trying to minister today to break that yoke of bondage where you feel justified having bitterness in your heart or walking around hopeless in depression. And he's trying to free you today with truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Okay, you took a hit in the gut. But man, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. Get up. See the purpose of this rejection. Because he's trying to teach you something. He's using rejection to show you something. He's using the rejection to heal some places that you didn't know needed to be healed. Oh, reject the rejection and see the purpose in it. So I'm going to grab just a couple of dudes from scripture. There are many I could have grabbed. Who showed us how they handle rejection, how they went through rejection. And just like we saw the picture of the earth, there's a bigger picture going on than what's happening in your little minute world. As real as it is, there's something bigger going on. Not only in you, through you, and for you, but there's something going on around you. And he's trying to get us to get up above how we feel and see how he's using what we're going through, listen, to help somebody else. Every experience in the body of Christ is for the body of Christ. So if you are a survivor of rejection, you ought to be able to talk to somebody who's going through because they're feeling left alone and left out by their parents or by their children or by the, oh man. So the first person I call up today is Joseph. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph's rejection was purposeful. Yeah, it was personal. Because his brothers, man, they were cold-blooded. It was personal. But he learned over time, as we're going to see today, that what they meant for what? God was working for good. It took him a while to get there. But let's go back. His father, Jacob, has 12 kids, 12 boys, and they're going to become the 12 tribes of Israel. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 37, when Joseph, who is next to the youngest, Benjamin was younger than him, but he is 17 years old, and he says to his brothers, "Hey, man, I had a dream. God speaks to me through dreams. I had a dream that all of y'all were going to bow down to me." They had problems. They not only had problems because of that, but he was also a tattletale. But Joseph would go out and see that they weren't working. "Boss, they ain't working. Boss, they ain't working." And he'd go back and tell daddy. So the Bible talks about how they hated their brother. Hated him. Then there's another word the Bible uses. They also envied him. Do you know that some people reject you because they're jealous of you? I won't chase that. I'm putting that out there for you to chase it yourself. But hold on, hold on, hold on. He has another dream, and he not only sees his brothers bowing down, but he sees the moon and the stars bowing down. Speaking of mom and dad. And so now everybody's tripping. Everybody's bowing to Joseph. And so they devise a plan to get rid of their brother. They see him coming one day, and they immediately say, "Here comes this dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dreams. You know there's some carnality in your family when y'all want to kill each other." And so one of them speaks up. Reuben, like, no, we can't do that. He's the oldest. He's like, "The old man will have a problem with me. No. Let's just throw him in this pit right here. Let him think about it." And Reuben's thinking, "I'll come back and get him later." Well, when Reuben comes back later, Joseph is gone because his brothers sold him to the Midianites, who then sold him to the Egyptians. And he went down into Egypt, and he works in Potiphar's house. You know the story. And so the brothers then lie to their dad to say, a beast killed our brother. "Here's that special coat you made for him. You ain't make one for the rest of us." Jealousy. We rejecting him. And they put blood on it from an animal and all this stuff, man. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And you know the rest of the story. Joseph goes to jail because he gets framed for rape. And man, and the Bible says the Lord was with him. God has a funny way of showing you that he's with you sometimes. Because if you're with me, why'd you let this false charge stick? Well, I have a plan on the menu called rejection. Because I'm going to use rejection to put some stuff in you and take some stuff out of you. And it's going to take some time when you're in this season of rejection. I got to work on you, and I'm also going to work on your family. Ah, boy. So he's in there interpreting dreams in jail. And one of the guys says, "Man, when I get up out of here, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember you." He gets out, doesn't remember him. Then one day, Pharaoh has dreams. And then the dude was like, "I remember now. That was a homie in jail. We were cellmates. He can interpret your dream." So Joseph is brought in out of prison clothes to come and stand before Pharaoh to interpret his dream. And he gives God all the glory for it. He interprets the dream and says there's 7 years of famine, 7 years of harvest, all the stuff you need to prepare. And so Pharaoh's like, "Since you had the dream, let me put you in charge." Do you see what's happening here? He went from going down to coming up. He went from being rejected by his family to being accepted by the mightiest ruler in the world at that time, Pharaoh. and he listens to this prisoner, and he ends up building all these barns to prepare and put the good stuff in for 7 years so that they can survive the famine for 7 years. Look at God. Then he marries a fine African woman. Has two kids. But he's still remembering the pain that his family put him through. And it even shows up in the names he names his children. But he's trying to go on with his life. And then one day, because of the famine, his brothers are told to go down into Egypt because they have grain, and ask them for help. And when they come, Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Watch out here now. So they come, he sees them, and it's been, some commentaries say, at least 20 years. Because you got the 14 years of famine, then he's in jail for some time. So it's at least 20 years. So they haven't seen him from the age of 17. What's 20 and 17? 37? Is my math right, Kevon? 37. Let's just say homie's 40. Hey, Raleigh, I wasn't as good as you and all that math. And so they haven't seen him, but he recognizes them. Huh. He could have said, it's my opportunity to take revenge because they rejected me. But instead, he wants to know how is daddy and how y'all treating the youngest brother, because did y'all do him the way y'all did me? So y'all know the story, man. It's right there in the book of Genesis. And he cares for them. He shows them kindness to the point where they go and get dad and bring dad down, and they give them land in Egypt to give to Jacob's descendants. So he's blessing them. But let me go now to verse 18, because daddy died and the boys are afraid. Genesis chapter 50. Can you put it on the screen, please? So daddy died and the boys are afraid. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. Fell down. Oh, the fulfillment of the prophetic dream. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Did God not promote me and give me this power? He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive. So it just wasn't about my rejection. It was about God elevating me to help save a whole lot of people, including y'all. I stopped by here to tell somebody, when it comes to rejection, sometimes it can be your own family. Jesus said it in Matthew 10. There's coming a day where your enemies will be the people in your house. Yeah, it hurts, but don't become overly discouraged by that. Sometimes you get enemies and reject it because of jealousy. You don't look at yourself like that, but they look at you like that. You see, the dirt they use to bury you is the soil God is using to resurrect you. They put him in a pit, thinking to bury him, kill him. Then they sell him. It's the love of money. So many families and relationships are torn up over money. You get rejected over money. They sell him. But God was with him. And God had a purpose in the rejection. And it took some time for Joseph to see it. And that was time, even when he saw his brothers for the first time, he looked at them, he cried. He had to go away and cry. He still had emotion and love and care and hurt, but God. But let me move on to my second example here. Moses' rejection was purposeful. There was a purpose. Joseph's rejection was not only to save the people who rejected him, but to save people in Egypt and from other countries coming to get grain. It was bigger than him. Had he just wallowed in despair because of rejection, a lot of people would have died. But Moses' rejection was also purposeful. You remember old Mo? A Hebrew born into slavery in Africa, in Egypt. Pharaoh is killing boys because the Jews are like baby kids. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. And that's probably good. We don't die, we... Lord help me. The Jews are multiplying. So Pharaoh is trying to control the population, and Moses' parents hide him. And then eventually he's adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, grows up in the palace, if you will, and gets the best education, best treatment, but he never forgets where he came from. And so there was a particular day where he's out and about, and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. So Moses, who had an anger problem, his fuse blew and he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Because in his heart, he wanted to deliver his people. He didn't want to see them in bondage like this, but he did it the wrong way and at the wrong time. Next day, he goes out. The Bible says he sees two Hebrews fighting with each other. And then he says, hey, y'all need to break it up. And one of them said, hey, man, what you going to do? You going to kill me the way you killed that Egyptian yesterday? Homeboy took off running. He says, it's out. And he flees to another land, and he stays there for 40 years on the backside of a mountain. And then in the 41st year, or at the end of the 40, he's going to have an encounter with God. But look at what Acts chapter 7, verses 35 through 36 say. This Moses, whom they, what? Rejected. Saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? Because that's what the guy said to him. Man, who do you think you are, man? You live over there in the vanilla suburbs trying to come over here in the hood and talk to us. Man, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? The Bible says they rejected him. I don't know if you can be a leader worth your salt if you don't go through rejection from time to time. And they not only rejected him before he started leading him, they rejected him almost every step of the way in the wilderness. Rejection was on the menu for Moses. And the Bible says they rejected him. But God says he's the one that I sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. Y'all rejected him, but I sent him, chose him, and called him. So just because you're called, sent, and chosen, don't mean folk won't reject you. When I went to seminary, they didn't have a class on how to handle rejection as a pastor. They ain't had that class. I had to learn that thing on my own. I'm just trying to love people and help people. They will reject you. But you can't take it personal. You've got to see it as purposeful. Because some of the people that reject me, I'm glad to see them go. Anyway, I might need to see a counselor this week. There's purpose. God appears to him in the burning bush. He goes back. Pharaoh, let my folk go. Back and forth with all the plagues. And then eventually he's able to lead them out. The Exodus, verse 36. He brought them out. The one that they rejected, he brought them out. There's a purpose. After he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years, he brought them out. You don't know how God's going to use you. You got something to share, something to teach. I don't know if I said it earlier, but sometimes it can be your own people. I don't know if I said that earlier. These are his own people. You can do the right thing like Moses and get treated like you did wrong. Some of you spend a lot of time saying, why did they reject me? All I did was try to help them. If you spend a lot of time asking that question, you are not going to get an answer. At least not one that suffices. Don't stay stuck on why. Now you start saying, God, what? Stop asking, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to see? Oh my goodness, this is growth here. This is growth. And then thirdly and finally, David's rejection was purposeful. It just wasn't personal. There was a purpose that was bigger than that moment. God has something in store from the rejection. You know his story. Shepherd boy. Had multiple brothers. I can't remember how many brothers he had, but he's the youngest. And Prophet Samuel comes to the house to anoint a new king for Israel because God says, go to Jesse's house. And there's a king there. And when Jesse comes, Samuel comes to Jesse's house, Jesse has all his sons come before Samuel. Samuel looks at the first dude who's tall and handsome. He said, oh, surely, that's the Lord's anointed right there. We can go on home. And the Lord said, no, he's not the one. For I don't look at what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking for somebody who has a heart for me. Good guy, but not the guy for this role. And then all the other sons come. And God's like, no. And the prophet is like, Jesse, I know I heard God, right? For me to come here, do you have any more sons? And Jesse says, yeah, I got one more. He out there with the sheep. In other words, dad rejected his son, thinking that his son was not king material. He smelled like sheep, working in dung. No, he young. I don't see that kind of value and potential in him. But God did. And Samuel said, man, I'm not sitting down. Go get him. And as soon as David comes in, the Lord says, he's the one. So he gets rejected by his father. And then I'm looking for, where's mama's voice? Usually mama going to speak up and say something. Wait a minute, honey. Wait, we got, David out there. She didn't even speak up. Silence is compliance. You're not speaking up for your son, mom or dad. And then later, David goes on the battlefield because Goliath out there punking everybody. Then David goes out there and says, what's going on here? His older brother said, man, you out here to start trouble, man. And he talks down to his brother, who was anointed in front of everybody to be the next king of Israel. I did say that sometimes they will reject you because they're jealous of you. Remember, y'all chase that at home on your own. And so he's like, man, leave me alone, man. What's going on? He turns to somebody else, find out what's going on. Then word gets to Saul, and Saul says, you go ahead and fight him. And David goes down there and knocks off Goliath's block. Then David comes out of the valley, and they're singing a song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed what? His 10,000. Now Saul is jealous of David to the point where he's trying to kill David. Try to kill him a couple of times. David has to run and live in a wilderness, a stronghold, for many, many years. And he was probably out there saying, why was this on the menu? Why, Lord? You anointed me as a king. Why am I out here running? I was content to serve King Saul. I didn't do anything to him. I tried to help him when demons were all over him. Lord, why? But if you spend a lot of time asking why, you're going to miss your what? And God was developing him in the darkness. There was a time when you couldn't get photos instantaneously on your phone. Back in the day, there was a certain kind of film used where you had to develop the negatives in a dark room. And the dark room was shut up. No light could get through that thing. But how could the photographer work with the negatives if the room was dark? The room had a red light in the dark room, because you couldn't put a regular light in there because it would mess up the development of what was going on with the negatives. So the red light would not mess up the process of the developing, but it would give the photographer enough ability to see in the darkness. Somebody says, I'm in a dark place. But the blood of Jesus is still covering you. Matter of fact, when the Bible talks about coming under the shadow of God's wings, sometimes we think the darkness is caused by evil. But sometimes the darkness is caused by Jehovah saying, come under my wings and be with me in this dark place so that you can know about my love. I'm preparing you for something bigger than this moment. Stay close to me in this season of rejection. And I'll bring you out of this dark place. But in the meantime, I have you covered. So go now to 1 Samuel chapter 22. David is running from place to place. And Saul has at his command a large army. He's trying to kill David. So David has to run to a cave. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Wait a minute, hold up, stop and pause. Why y'all coming down here now? Well, Saul was so mean and dirty and nefarious that if he couldn't kill David, he might kill David's brothers, the next best thing to be in there. So the climate is changing. Now they got to go and flee with to be with the one that they rejected. They rejected their brother. But now they're coming to their brother for help. Sounds familiar. So David doesn't turn them away. He lets them come into the cave. Let me see. And everyone who was discontented gathered to him, so he became captain over them. God is forming his army now. And there were about 400 men with him who would be called the mighty men. So God is developing him in a season and a place of rejection. Verse 3. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. Oh, mom and dad are there too? The ones who rejected him when Samuel came to the house. Now they're coming to him. You see, God will make your enemies a footstool. The people that rejected you will come to you looking for something. And the proof that your heart is healed is that you don't cuss them. Some of y'all say, Pastor, pray for me. I ain't there yet. But he blesses them, lets them come in. And this is when I believe David writes Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me in. He had to learn something through rejection, that your parents are your parents, but God is God. God says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Forsake means reject. God says, they might reject you. I'll never reject you. So by getting closer to God, he learned more about the heart of God so that he could use it towards his own family who once rejected him. It's bigger than us. You can't hold a grudge. God says, I want you to minister to people who hurt you. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. I want to be like Jesus until it costs me something. Oh my goodness. You know you're healing when you can help the people who once hurt you. Anybody here? Hello. It's that real stuff here now. There was a preacher in Franklin when we were starting Strong Tower. Started a multiracial church with a whole lot of white people back then. They were suspicious of us. Put us down and said what we were doing was the devil's work. I'm going to go preach at this man's church in June. He ain't the pastor there no more. But anyway, I tell y'all too much stuff. Because some of y'all going to be like, who was it? Who? Y'all going to get on, who was it? And I went out of his office like, man, I was trying to get to know this pastor. He telling me what I'm doing ain't of God and rejected me. But then a little while later, he reached out to me and asked, could Strong Tower and I help pay his bills? Because the Lord was working on me, I said, yeah, man, we'll help you with your light bill and your mortgage and all that kind of stuff. And so I hope I haven't lost my crown telling y'all that story. But I'm just trying to let y'all know it happens, man. And here's another way you know you're healing and you're growing, that you could tell your story without bitterness. When you talk about your ex-husband, your ex-wife, and you can do it without bitterness. And you can even say, I thank the Lord. That season, all of it wasn't bad. Because I married him. Well, I married her. But you know what? God pulled me out of that and put me into something better. And it might be singleness. I can do better by myself. Or I got a homie or a homegirl that's, hey, thank you, Jesus. Because their rejection led to a blessing. But you can share the story without bitterness. That just means you're growing. So what's the common denominator in each of these stories? God uses rejection to develop the person being rejected so that he can use that person to help deliver others. And sometimes they will be members of your own family that you'll call. But the people God will use you to edify and encourage may not be the actual people who rejected you. It just may be people that you've come to know who need a word of encouragement from your testimony. But in other words, that experience is not wasted. Brother Ben cooks these great meals for us every time we have a fire pit. And ain't nothing wasted up in there, I'm gonna tell you that. He marinated some chicken, boy. I said, my goodness. Brothers went back for two plates. I saw a couple of y'all leaving with plates and aluminum foil over it. Y'all shiesty with that now because I wasn't able to get me a plate. But anyway, Ben talks about, I think it's your mother, when she eats a piece of chicken, nothing's wasted. Black folk, you thought y'all could eat chicken. He talked about how his mother eat chicken. She'll put that bone in there. Whoop, 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 whoop. Ain't nothing on that bone. Meat, gristle, ain't nothing wasted. Some of y'all come from deep in the country and y'all eat the bone on the chicken. I know some of y'all do that. Y'all eat the bone on the chicken. Don't raise your hand. Ain't nothing wasted. God says there's nothing wasted in what you're going through. But I'm going to use it. There's a purpose in it, and that's to help other people out. It's not just about you. Yeah, get your healing, but help other people out. So your rejection is purposeful. God will use it to develop you so that you can help deliver others. Now, when I was doing my research last week, one of my tools is the Young's Concordance. The Young's Concordance, in my opinion, is better than the Strong's Concordance, because the Young's Concordance will not only give you the words in Hebrew and in Greek, it'll break down the different Hebrew and Greek words used and even give you the definition of the Hebrew and the Greek word. So to me, Young's is a great concordance. And when I was studying last week, studying on rejection, trying to cut this sermon down, I was going to make it two parts, but I got something I got to preach next week. And I'm like, Lord, okay, let me try to squeeze it all into one here. And I'm looking at my concordance and this is what I saw. You see, rejected over there. And there's our verse, Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. It gives you the meaning of the word. It means to cease, to leave off, to forbear. And then right under rejected is the word rejoice. And it's listing you, and I can't even give you the other page because rejoice is going to be longer than the rejection that's found in the Bible. So after the season of rejection comes what? But can you hang in there? Or will you quit? Will you cuss? Will you moan? The Bible says, Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Can you hold on? He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Jesus said in John 16, 20, your sorrow will be turned to joy, and your joy no one will take from you. Can you hang in there? Can you see there's a bigger purpose than what's going on in the natural realm? Yeah, they rejected you, but they also rejected your Lord. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He kept going. He stayed on mission. No bitterness, no resentment. He forgave people who hurt him. If you're in that season, trust God. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Lord, I pray. I pray. Somebody heard something that's going to help. Somebody heard something that hopefully will make them pick up the Bible for the first time in a long time. See that nothing we're going through is only unique to us, but it's common to man. And in the midst of this, you are faithful. Give fresh strength to people who are hurting because of rejection. Holy Spirit, one of your fruits is joy. It's not something we can manufacture, but it's something that you do so that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In the midst of this arduous season, for those of us who've been through a little something and we've lived to tell about it and we've learned from the things we've suffered, help us to sit at tables with others to encourage them that if we could make it through our situation, you can make it through yours. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. You don't know how long it's been. It's been a lot of years. Okay. But God is still with you. And if you have any bitterness towards someone, you need to confess that to God. He's the one who said, love your enemies. Pray for those who despise you and use you. Oh, Lord, I can't do that on my own. You're right. But he can do it through you in your brokenness. Forgive folks. Pray for them. And when you see them, whether it's that friend, that spouse, that boss, there's another fruit called kindness. You can be kind to people who rejected you. You can be kind to them. Lord, we know that you were serious when you saved us and when you called us. We're serious, Lord, as we follow you as disciples, even as soldiers in the army of the Lord. We submit to you and your commands. We're not giving you our opinions or our suggestions. But we're following you. And what they meant for evil, keep reminding us that you can turn it for good. And you can turn tears of sorrow into tears of rejoicing. You can take anxiety brought about by rejection and turn it into a peace that surpasses our understanding. Let us not waste this moment. Let us learn in this moment. Now unto this God who is able to do, oh my God, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. This according to the power that is working within us. To you, oh God, be all of the glory, all of the dominion, all of the authority, both now in my situation and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, hallelujah. Can you hug a few folks before you leave?